today. Thank you for this word. Amen. Pursued by love, saved by grace, followed by mercy. Wow. That's what we're going to be preaching on today. Pursued by love, saved by grace, and followed by mercy. You know, when we look through the word, through the scripture, we find about God, when we become acquainted with him, we understand that he's a seeking God. When you go through the scripture, he's seeking, he's pursuing, he's chasing, he's looking. All through the scriptures you can see this. And it's within his nature, it's who he is. John 4:23 tells us, for such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. He scans the earth from heaven, according to Psalms 142:2. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men. 2 Chronicles 16:19 tells us, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Then in Luke 19, we find Jesus telling us that he comes to seek. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And, you know, I love that scripture there. So chase a little rabbit for a minute. He did not come just to seek and pursue your salvation. Amen. He came to seek and pursue anything in life that the enemy has come to steal from you. He's going to restore. And he wants to restore. Amen. So he compares himself with the shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep to seek the one who's lost. So just these few scriptures here that we see that God is a pursuer. He is a chaser. He's after you. And he is pursuing, looking, going after, chasing God. And you know, this completely omniscient God, self-sufficient one, that owns everything and needs nothing, would seek for something, and that something would be us. Wow. To me, that takes my breath away when I think about it. That he longs for us, he desires for us, he passionately pursues us. Pursued by love, God is on a relentless pursuit of you. Yes. And Laverne was talking about a while ago how that we need to tell people over and over again about the love of God. Someone asked me one time if I ever preached about hell. I said, why should I preach about hell? I'm not sending nobody there. And God doesn't want to send anybody there. Then they come back, well, you must have sugarcoated the gospel. I said, I sugarcoat it every time because a little sugar on something's always better. Amen? Well, I thought that was good. So God's pursuit of you began before you were born. My frame, the word tells us in 139:15, chapter 139, verse 15. David said, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. God gave up everything just to be with you. Gave up everything for you. From the moment you were born in the natural, God started pursuing your heart. He began a relentless pursuit of you. And for those who might not have accepted Christ as Savior yet, he is pursuing them. There was no sin too great, no distance we could run that would ever discourage God from loving us. We got to get that settled in our heart. It's like Laverne said again, how can we trust someone and rely on someone if we don't understand their love for us? Psalms 123:6 says, your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. Wow. And even for those who have trusted him as Savior, he is still in pursuit of you. It doesn't just stop once you accept him as Savior. He is still relentlessly pursuing you. 1 John 3:1 tells us, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we would be permitted to be named, called, and counted the children of God. And so are we. I think we've quoted that scripture probably for the last 3 or 4 weeks. We are counted as children of God. Our identity is through our sonship. And because of his very nature, which is love, the nature of God is love. He is love. When you talk about God, you talk about love. His very nature is love. His greatest longing for us is an ongoing relationship with us. He desires to have fellowship with us. And even for those who have strayed from the path of following God, he does not stop pursuing you at that point because you've decided just to go your own way for a while and do what you, you know, whatever you think you need to do. It doesn't take away the fact that you're not his son, and he doesn't stop loving you at that point. Because when one chooses to stray from God, the Father's love for us does not change. Same thing with our natural children. When we see them going to an opposite way that they've been taught or they've been raised, we don't just say, kick them out and say, hey, when you get your act straightened up and start doing better, then I'll start loving you again. How much more would our Heavenly Father not do that for us as one of his children? So God is love, and the one who continually abides in him, who abides in love, abides in God. And God abides continually in him. He loves you simply because he wants to. He chooses to love you. He decided to love you even before you were born. You know, we've seen that song, Reckless Love, and I've heard a lot of people have negative things to say about that song because of the word reckless in it. So I got to looking around last night, and I found the author of the song and the person that sings it, and I want you to read what he has to say against the naysayers of it. It's awesome. Reckless Love, Corey Asbury. He says, many have asked me for clarity on the phrase reckless love. Many have wondered why I'd use such a negative word to describe God. I've taken some time to write my thoughts here. I hope it brings answers to your questions, but more than that, I hope it brings you into an encounter with the wildness of God's love. When I use the phrase, the reckless love of God, I'm not saying that God himself is reckless. I am, however, saying that the way he loves us, the way he loves is in many regards quite so. What I mean is this: he is utterly unconcerned with the consequences of his actions with regards to his own safety, comfort, and well-being. His love isn't crafty or slick. It's not cunning or shrewd. In fact, all things considered, it's quite childlike and, might I even suggest, sometimes downright ridiculous. His love bankrupted heaven for you. His love does consider himself first. His love isn't selfish or self-serving. He doesn't wonder what he'll gain or lose by putting himself out there. He simply gives himself away on the off chance that one of us might look back at him and offer ourselves in return. Wow. His love leaves the 99 to find the one every time. Too many practical adults, that's a foolish concept. But what if he loses the 99 in search of the one? What if finding that one lost sheep is and will always be supremely important? His love isn't cautious. No, it's a love that sent his own son to die a gruesome death on a cross. There's no plan B with the love of God. He gives his heart so completely and so preposterously that if refused, most would consider it irreparably broken. Yet, he gives himself away again. The recklessness of his love is seen most clearly in this. It gets him hurt over and over. Make no mistake, our sin pains his heart. 70 times 7 is a lot of times to have your heart broken. Yet he opens up and allows us back in every time. His love saw you when you hated him. When all logic said, they'll reject me, he said, I don't care if it kills me. I'm laying my heart on the line. Wow. To get personal, his love saw me, a broken down kid, with regret as deep as the ocean. My innocence and youth poured out like water, yet he saw fit to use me for his kingdom because he is just that kind. I didn't earn it, and I sure as heck don't deserve it, but he is just that good. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. In other words, he took a big chance on you. He took a big chance on you. He went out, so to speak, and said, I'm going to love them, even though they may reject me. Wow, even though they may hurt me, even though they may turn their back on me after all I've done for them, I'm willingly to go there. Simply, oh, hallelujah. Simply because I love them. And I want to have fellowship with them. I created them in my image, pursued by love. Wow. Pursued by love. But so many times we want to compare the love of God to the love of man. And that kind of love can falter. That kind of love can hurt. That kind of love can cause rejection. But our Heavenly Father is not like that. He is a good, good Father. Amen. That's not ever out to hurt you, but for you and not against you. Trying to get all of the kingdom of heaven to you and all of his blessings to you. Amen. Pursued by love, saved by grace. God pursues us out of that love so we can receive the gift of salvation. And that's the beginning, which will bring us into relationship with him. Because our spirit, which was dead, now becomes alive. And we get reconnected back to the one that created us and knew about us before we were ever formed in our mother's womb. Amen. That's where the reconnection started back. We cannot be saved if it was not for the pursuit of God. Because we sure didn't want to pursue him when we was out there living crazy. And he still kept us. Salvation is not earned by own merit or effort. It's a free gift by God's grace, undeserved favor. In response to our faith, God pursued you out of love that you might accept him as Savior. Ephesians 2:8 plainly tells us, for it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we ever could do to earn it, earn this salvation. For it's the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. He has forever been a pursuit for you and forever chasing after you and seeking you. And we did not choose him. Did you know we did not choose him? But God chose us. Because if we were left up to our own devices, we would have continued down the path of destruction, doing what we wanted to do. We accepted that plan that was already in place because he already chose us. Wow. He already chose us. The plan was already there. The plan just didn't pop up one day when you decided to get saved. So he chose you and you accepted the fact that he chose you and the plan of salvation that was already put in place for our salvation by accepting the finished work of the cross accomplished by Jesus, by acknowledging, yeah, our sinful state. Because the way I'm living my life at this point is not getting me anywhere. So if I'm not getting anywhere with my life the way it is now, what do I need to change? What do I need to do different at that point? Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Begin that relationship with him. And then out of, like I said so many times, out of that horizontal relationship with him, you have relationship with yourself. Because it says love your neighbor as you love yourself. And a whole lot of reasons we can't love other people because we don't even like ourselves. Even when we know how much God loves us and likes us and adores us and chases after us with passionate love, we've got to love ourselves too. And when we love ourselves because we know who we are with all of our faults and everything else, then we're going to be able to show the love of God to others. Out of that love, we'll be able to show it to others. Ephesians 1:4, 5, and verse 11. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. And this is another scripture we've read over and over for the last few weeks, talking about our identity and who we are and our sonship and being heirs of God and what we received as being an heir. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Here's that love word again. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he had freely given to us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. So it's already been laid out for us because he chose us. And we accept that choosing and that plan of salvation that he laid out for us. So God initiates salvation by drawing us to him, by pursuing us, through the actions of his pursuing. In John 6, Jesus was performing miracles and been teaching about the kingdom. And he started revealing more and more of his divinity, of who he was and why he was here. And those that were with him began to argue with him. Have you ever argued with God? I have. I've argued with God. Jesus has said, I'm the bread of life in 6:35. And I'm the substance of life, which led to a greater argument by those following him. In John 6:44, Jesus says, no one can come to the Father, can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. In order to be drawn, you have to be pursued. Another translation reads that no one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me attracts and draws, pursuing him, and gives him the desire to come to me. Wow. So God was pursuing them, and they rejected it. Pursued by love, saved by grace, followed by mercy. So how does God, let me see if I've got this other note here, where it talks about pursued by love, saved by grace. So how does God pursue us, you may ask us? He just pop here on earth? No. He does it through the beauty of creation. You see a sunset and you're like, I see you, God. What does that do? That's God pursuing you in his beauty. So we know that he pursues us because he wants a relationship with us. He draws us. He pursues us through his written word. When we begin to look in here and we begin to think, begin to see about the love of God and how much he wants us and desires us to give us the good things. How else does he pursue us? He pursues us through the kind words of strangers. Somebody behind you at McDonald's buys you a cup of coffee. Things just don't randomly happen, folks. Amen. Things just don't randomly happen. So you're thinking, well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Bless that person that bought me that coffee or whatever I got behind me. I just thank you that you're blessing them. Amen. Those are the actions that God pursues us with. Another way that God pursues us is through the love of family. Amen. And he pursues us through fellowship of like believers. He pursues us through favor coming into our lives. All of those are ways that God pursues us with his actions. So pursued by love, saved by grace. Now let's talk about mercy. Followed by mercy. And this is just, I never really thought a lot about mercy, but I began to think about how I used it a lot. When I see a situation, heard about someone, have you ever said, Lord, have mercy on them? You know, what were you really saying? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever really thought about mercy? I hadn't until I began to study this. Followed by mercy. Mercy in the Bible is God's withholding a just punishment. We all deserve punishment. But because of the blood of Jesus, when he sees us, that's what he sees. He doesn't see our faults and our shortcomings and our ugliness. Amen. Mercy in the Bible is God's withholding of just punishment. Mercy then reminds me of the goodness of God in my life every day. Wow. Mercy reminds me of that. Because of our nature, we deserve God's anger just like everyone else. But God, the word says, but God is rich in mercy. Why? Because of his great love for us. It all comes back to that love factor and to get a revelation of that. And it will take care of all of our problems. When things come along in life, we won't be blaming people and other things or whatever. Why? Because we understand the love that God has for us. But God is rich in mercy because of his great love for us. The Bible, we were dead because of our failures, but he made us alive together with Christ. It is God's kindness, God's mercy that he saved you, that he chose you. Ephesians 2:4-5 tells us God is rich in mercy because of his great love that he has toward us. And we're also very familiar with this scripture, Lamentations 3:22-24. The reason I can still find hope, Jeremiah is talking, the reason I can still find hope is I keep this one thing in mind, the Lord's mercy. Wow. We're not completely wiped out. His compassion is never limited. It's new every morning. His faithfulness is great. My soul then can say, the Lord is my lot in life. That is why I find hope in him. This other translation says, but this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. You know, sometimes you just have to tell your soul to be happy and to be strong. And you speak to your flesh through your spirit, man, and tell your flesh how to act and tell your soul what to think. But this I call to mind. Therefore, I have hope. Well, you know, I don't feel like having hope. Yes, you do. You have hope. You start thinking about hope. You start quoting scriptures about hope. Confession, decree, and declaring the word. Amen. Lord's love, and it's because of the Lord's loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his tender compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great and beyond measure is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion and my inheritance, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him and wait expectantly for him. When you start decreeing and declare, you wait expectantly, and pretty soon your feelings are going to line up with what your spirit's saying. We live life from sonship, amen, from the position of sonship and what the word says. I just heard a thing on, I was telling Kenny about it, about this guy that had been married 60-some years, or he was 60-some years old. I don't know how long him and his wife had been married, had four beautiful grown children. He decided he was gay because he had found his truth. You can find your truth, but if it's not based within this word, then it's not truth. It's a lie the enemy's trying to cause you to believe. You know, it's a lie that the enemy is causing you to believe. And he was blessing his wife, but he says, she says it's just a choice. But I know that it's not a choice, and I've been feeling this way all my life. Yes, it was a choice. And Oprah's got this big thing now about finding your truth. You know, I'm not sure which way she's going, but she's all the time, you need to find your truth and live out your truth. But if you're not living out your truth according to the principle of God's word, you're living a lie. And this word never lies. The truth can only be found in this book and in the pages of this book. That is what's going to cause you to live a long life. Amen. A long and prosperous length of days life. Okay, that was a rabbit. The prophet Jeremiah wrote these words in a time of grief that I just read, a time of national mourning. After the city of Jerusalem, the great city of Jerusalem, had fallen to the hands of the enemy, the Babylonians. So he began to write this in the midst of cries and expressions of anguish and pain. But right in chapter 3, in the middle of the book, he begins to say, I can still find hope. I can still find hope in the middle of all this. He says, we're not completely wiped out. I'm going to keep this one thing in mind. God's compassion is never limited. I'm going to keep that in mind in the middle of being in the middle of my enemies being captured by the enemy. He begins to say, I'm going to keep this in mind. He said, I'm going to call this to my mind. I have hope that it's because of the loving kindness of God that I'm not consumed by the enemy. His compassions are never going to fail me. They're going to be new every morning. Lord, you're my portion. You're my inheritance. You are merciful, gracious. Woo! And he says, I'm going to hope in you, and I'm going to wait expectantly for my deliverance. Woo! Hallelujah. So Jeremiah's tone changes from despair to hope. So what are you saying? Are you agreeing with God's word in the mornings when you get up? Lord, your mercies are new today. I don't know what may transpire today, but I know that you already know it. So if you already know it, I don't know it yet. So I know you've already taken care of it. You're going to give me wisdom on how to take care of it and how to handle it. So I'm going to agree with what you say. I'm going to agree with what your word says about the situation, that your mercies are new today. And whatever comes my way, I know it's going to be all right. The reason we can still find hope, Jeremiah says, that I keep this one thing in mind, the Lord's mercy never fails. His kindness never fails. His compassions never fail us. So we all get bad reports. People talk about us. Marriages fall apart. Jobs fall apart. Kids go crazy. And it may seem like at times everything in our world is falling apart. But the reason that we can still find hope is that one thing, and that's the Lord's mercy. And that's what we have to go back to. Amen. Pursued by love, stayed by grace, kept by the mercy of God, because it follows us. It's new every morning. The Lord is the light in my life. That is why I find hope in him. In Psalms, the last verse of Psalms 23, David says, surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me all the days of my life. Woo! Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's a sure thing that goodness and mercy are following you. That sometimes you feel somebody behind you. Well, it's probably goodness and mercy wanting you to accept them. Remember what Pastor said one time, that they lived in that house and he's hearing racket at night. And the way the story went, I think, was that you could either believe it's demons or angels. Yeah, right. Amen. So you hear something behind you, don't fear. It's goodness and mercy trying to jump on you. And you're holding them at a distance by the words of your mouth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Hebrew word follow. Ooh, I like this. It's the Hebrew word R-A-D-A-P-H, which means to pursue. It means to set after someone in order to catch them. Wow. I believe God's blue light is on and he's behind you. Ooh, and, oh, hallelujah. And he is pursuing you to catch you, to bless you. And you're running as fast as you can from him. To pursue, to set after someone in order to catch him. So God's goodness and mercy do not follow 50 yards behind us or a mile behind us. It's set to after to catch him. They are pursuing us every day because his mercies are new every day. His compassions are new. His compassion is new every day. His mercy, his goodness is pursuing us in order to catch us. Pursued by love, saved by grace. Followed by mercy. His mercy keeps us. And I was reading a while ago at how that God pursues us in the action of other people, in creation, the act of kindness, amen, the actions of favor. All of those things are God's way of pursuing us. And the more that we begin to recognize that and begin to have a thankful heart. And I remember Holy Spirit speaking to me a long time ago. Surely if you will always maintain a thankful heart, I will withhold no good thing from those that have a thankful heart. Amen. Thank God in all things, not because of all things, but in all things. Even in the bad things, because in that things, God is pursuing you to say, hey, I got you covered. I got you covered. Now that you know how the love of God pursues us in all the days of our lives, how that pursuit leads us to salvation, and how mercy follows us, there's another aspect, and I'm going to preach on this next Sunday. God wants us to pursue him as well. But that desire to pursue God only comes, because he has pursued us first. He has put that desire in us first to pursue him. And if you're having a relationship with someone and they are not pursuing you first, then you have no desire to pursue them. Amen. But if they're pursuing you, they have put a desire in you. Say, oh, this person likes me. Amen. So they pursue you. That's the same thing with God. When you begin to understand the love of God, you're thinking, wow, God is pursuing me. He's showing me his love through actions of other people. We love people into the kingdom of God. You never condemn someone into the kingdom of God. You love them into the kingdom of God. Amen. We're all on different levels of our growth with God. That's why we judge no one where they are at the moment. We don't know where they are progressing at what stage they are progressing in their relationship with God. Amen. So God wants us to pursue him as well. David said in Psalms 14:2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any who understood, dealt wisely, and sought after God, inquired for and of him, and required him of vital necessity. Wow. Are you pursuing God with vital necessity? And you're saying, he is what I need more than anything. He is what I desire more than anything. That I will choose to passionately pursue him. And then everything else is going to work out. So where does God fit in your life's pursuits? If you're wanting to do something, are you including God in that plan? Or do you make a plan and then say, God, you come and join me in this plan? Or do we ask God for the plan and he gives it to us, and then we're led by the Holy Spirit to fulfill that plan? Amen. So to pursue God means that Jesus influences, Holy Spirit influences, impacts every part of our lives. That we don't leave him out of anything, but that we have a grateful heart, a thankful heart. Amen. He's not just a priority in our lives that we take off the shelf and use when we think we have it, when we have a need or an emergency. You know, he is so much part of us that when something does arise, we automatically just cry out to him because he has become our vital necessity of life. So we don't sit him aside waiting until we need something. What if you just never talk to your spouse? You only talk to them when you wanted something. I don't think you're going to get much reaction from them. And it's the same way with our relationship with God. If we are continually allow the Holy Spirit to mentor us in that relationship with him. Amen. When everything else happens in our life, we say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. I know that was you. Oh, I know that was you, God. I just thank you that you blessed me. I thank you that I have favor. I thank you that I'm healed. Amen. How does that flow so easily? Because when you begin to learn that someone desires you, someone wants to be with you, it's more easy to talk to them. And our relationship with God is not a hard thing because it's birthed out of passion through the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's birthed out of passion through the Holy Spirit. So he's not just a priority in our lives. He is life. He is our life himself. There is a crisis. Even in those times when we most want to distance ourselves from God, he refuses to distance himself from us. Do you know how many times I've walked out of here on Sunday morning and decided I was going to quit? Do you realize how many times I told God I was not going to preach? Don't talk about it to you anymore. But I'm so glad his shoulders are big enough that we can throw it on him. Amen. And the Holy Spirit constantly whispers to us, come and talk to me. Lay your head on my chest and let's talk about this. He already knows it anyway, so you might as well just get it off of your chest and put it on his shoulders. Amen. So when we want to learn something, we begin to pursue it. We begin to learn everything about it. And when we pursue relationships, we spend time learning about that other person and work hard to make that relationship all that it can be. Why should we not do that with God, the vital necessity of our life? Why should not we be pursuing him with the same passion that we pursue other things in life? When those moments happen in life, the pursuit does not feel like hard work at that point, as I said a while ago. And the reason is that we only pursue that which we deeply desire. And sometimes you just have to ask God, make me hungry for you. Put that desire in me for you. Put that passion in me for you, God. Let me see you as God in all of your glory and in all of who you are. And to learn all about you. You are love. You are compassion. You are mercy. You are grace. You are healing. You are more than enough. You're my father, my mother, my husband, whatever I may need. You are. And we begin to accept that and walk it out. So God deeply desires us. And he doesn't give up his pursuit of that which he desires. He just doesn't sit by quietly waiting for us to turn to him. God is in active pursuit of us. I remember a time long ago. I hadn't been saved very many years. And, of course, I was one of the party people. I did not live a good moral life like Pastor Jerry and Learn. I've been there and done that. But we still both had to come through the same gate. Amen. But I decided I just wanted to do my own thing again. And I remember finally going back to church and sitting there one night, the Holy Spirit just began to fall on me like rain. And I began to weep. And I began to say, God, I miss you. I miss talking to you. I miss loving on you. I miss you loving on me. I just want to come home. And at that moment, I heard the Holy Spirit say, welcome back. I've been waiting for you. And that's what he says to every person that decides to stray away from him. It's not that they quit becoming their daughter and he just said, well, you're not my son, you're not my daughter no more. You've gone out there and you've got yourself dirty again. But you know what he does? He says, I've been waiting for you. I have been waiting for you. So for those of you that are listening, you may have strayed. Don't put yourself in condemnation for it. Jesus is waiting for you to come back home. For the Lord your God, Zephaniah tells us in 3, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. And one scripture says, he dances over you with joy. And that's how God wants you to see yourself. He's dancing over you with joy. I know you may say things that's not right, time when we do things that's not right. He loves you anyway. And it doesn't mean that you don't strive to do better and quit doing those things that wants to make you distant yourself from the Lord. He never distances himself from you. It's because we distance ourselves from him because we allow the devil to condemn us. But the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this word today. We just lift our hands right now, God. And we just ask the Holy Spirit to fall fresh on us like rain. Let the rain of your Holy Spirit fall fresh on us right now. Refill us today, God, with your Holy Spirit. Kayatina mashalahababatasia. Oh, yanina lana makala sate litakasotoya. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this word today. Pursued by your love, saved by your grace, followed by your mercy all the days of our lives. Oh, we receive that today, Jesus. Knowing who we are in you, that you are pursuing us, and because of that pursuit, you put a desire in us that in turn that we pursue you. And just like you've chased after us, we chase after you, God. Not because you're hard to find or not because you're not, that you don't want to be caught, because we want to know more about you and about your love and about your grace and about your mercy. Heal all the broken places in our lives. Heal all the broken places, God, that are there. Heal all the broken places in our lives. Restore to us, Lord, the joy of our salvation. Wow. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. That we always maintain a grateful spirit, a grateful heart, a thankful heart in all you do. And as we go forth this week, we're just looking for ways that you're pursuing us in every little thing in life. We're just saying, thank you, God. I know that was you. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, as we go forth from this place today, God, and we go into this week, Lord, I just speak favor over us today, that we're surrounded by favor, that we are blessed to be a blessing, and that we have encounter with people this week that we are able to speak this word to and say, listen, God's love is chasing you. His mercy is following you. His goodness and mercy are following you. He's for you, not against you. Thank you for those divine encounters this week, Lord. Thank you. And I speak those over us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.